I want to welcome you to another Friday edition of Into the Word. But this is a special one because today we finish 1 year's worth of teaching. So we are 1 year into our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. We finished the book of Deuteronomy the last time, which means that we've gotten through all of the books of Moses, plus the book of Job in that first year of teaching. And I hope you have found it interesting and useful. I have a request for you. In this anniversary phase, I would love for you to let the people at the radio station know that you appreciate the program. I would love to hear from you. You hear the contact information at the end of the program every time that we have this study. Just drop me a line, drop me an email, something. Let me know what you think about it. And the most important thing that you could do for me is tell somebody else. Let somebody else know that this is a place where you can go through the entirety of God's Word and let it get into you and to change you from the inside out through the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's the way I want to celebrate this anniversary, is getting even more people on this journey through all of God's inspired Word. And thank you to all of you who are supporting Into the Word on the radio program, on the radio station. We appreciate that very much and couldn't do it without your assistance. Fridays, I like to tell you, get to church. You need to have a home congregation and you need to stay plugged in there. If you don't have a place, get a place. And if you're actively looking, please consider coming over to the Elkhart East building if it's within an easy drive from where you live. And maybe we can be the place where you can settle down. I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of Joshua. Joshua, of course, is the next leader of the Israeli people. He was commissioned by God while Moses was still alive, and he has functioned for the last 40 years as Moses' assistant, right-hand man. He's been the leader of the military, even, in some of the battle engagements that we've seen described. Well, now his responsibility is to take the Israelis across the Jordan River and into that promised land. And so we begin his story today in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of he who is said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am going to give them to the people of Israel." So Joshua, as a new year begins, and all of the grief and the official 30 days of mourning for Moses, all of that is finished. And so now Joshua is told by God, get ready to move. Prepare yourself. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So Moses is going to keep being mentioned by God here in the early part of the Joshua story, because Joshua is the legitimate continuation of Moses' mission. Moses originally would have been going into the promised land with the Israeli people. His bad day with his failure to give God the glory in striking the rock and saying, How much longer do we have to put up with you rebels? That kicked in the head the idea of Moses being the one that would take them into the promised land. So Joshua has to finish what Moses should have been finishing. And that's going to be a scary prospect for Joshua. And we'll see that God tries to comfort him in this change of plans. Verse 4, the specificity of the promised land. From the wilderness, that'd be the south part and down by the Jordan and by the Dead Sea. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, the Lebanon is a reference to the Lebanon Mountains and then the anti-Lebanon Mountains that are to the east of them, and then the Baca Valley that is between those two mountain ranges. As far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, the promised land was understood to include a future expansion along the Baca Valley all the way up to that little bend in the Euphrates River that is near the homeland of Abraham and the place where Isaac got his wife from and where Jacob went and got his wives from. So the promised land is very expansive north to south. It's not so expansive, not so wide east to west. God goes on with Joshua and says, all the land of the Hittites, the sons of Heth, which was part of the people groups occupying this land through its history, to the Great Sea, that's the ancient name for the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So these are the parameters, Joshua, of the promised land that you are going to go in and take the initial possession of. And then from there, God is going to expand them out into the full parameters later. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, Joshua is already about mid-80s. That's the best understanding of how old he is based on his partnership with Caleb as one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land 40 years earlier. We know Caleb's age, and so Joshua seems to be a contemporary of his. And so he is going to spend probably about 25 years. That's the tradition of Jewish history outside the Bible. He will spend about another 25 years, dying at 110. We know that from the scripture. And he will spend those years being victorious. That's what God promises. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. We have seen that a couple of times already as encouragement toward him, because it is hard to fill the shoes of someone that's very effective as a leader. That'd be Moses. But even more difficult when that person has been in leadership for 40 years. has been kind of the leader for a couple of generations of people. So these are big sandals for Joshua to fill. So he needs to be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. So he intensifies that idea of courage. Let's see, I lost my spot. Let me get back to there again. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. So Moses was the law receiver who became the law giver. And now Joshua needs to pick up in that adherence to the law that Moses gave. God says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. So stay on the straight and narrow. Do things God's way. Now, this I find intriguing. I know I find a lot of things intriguing, but how about this? Verse 8. This book of the law. Now, book here has to do with a scroll. But for our practical purposes, it's a written bit of material. So this is not oral tradition we're talking about here. We know that Moses has been writing during his leadership time. He wrote the entire book of Genesis during the Exodus experience so that the Israelis would have connection with the past and understand history correctly, rather than some of the mythology that they picked up while they were in Egypt. Moses wrote down Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers so that the people would have the law story, the giving of the law story. They would have some of the rules and regulations by that. They would have expansive understanding of some of those rules and regulation. Census information the rules for the Levites in how they were supposed to carry out their responsibility as religious leaders and as judicial leaders in Israel. So he wrote down all of that, and we know just most recently he gave his final address to the Israeli people, a recap of the Exodus plus a retelling of the law, along with encouragement to keep that law. That's the book of Deuteronomy. He wrote it down. Now, one of the things that we read in the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses said, in the future, when God lets you have a king, the king needs to write out all of this law for himself in his own handwriting, with the priests standing over him, making sure he gets it right, making sure he's precise in his details. And once he makes that handwritten copy, he then needs to keep it by his side and read from it every single day of his life. Do you remember that? I think Joshua probably did that for himself. And I think God, in verse 8, is actually referencing Joshua's handwritten copy of the book of Deuteronomy. And God says, okay, again, jump back in the text with that idea in your mind with me. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So that follows the same idea that Moses had said he wanted the future kings to follow. Use this book every single day so that you will stay on the straight and narrow, so that you will know that everything you say every decree you make is in alignment with the Word of God. And by the way, that needs to be the procedure of all our preachers. Now, I don't know that it would be easy for us to write out in our own handwriting all of the words of Scripture, but we definitely all have copies of Scripture that we need to be spending time in every single day of our lives. We need to be students of the Word so that we can speak the Word into every circumstance and situation. In fact, the theme verse, theme passage that we use for Into the Word program talks about that, that all Scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work. The next part of Paul's letter to Timothy says, I urge you by God to preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, correct. Because there's going to be false teachers come along. So being exceptionally familiar with God's word is a must for every preacher. And really, let's be practical about it. Every Christian needs to be thoroughly familiar with the Word of God so that they know how to act and react in all the circumstances of their daily lives. And so the more we study, the better we'll live for the Lord. And that is what I think God is getting at with Joshua here at the beginning of his solo ministry as the leader of Israel. For then, we're in the middle of verse number 8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God's word in your heart, being lived out, is one of the ways that you can be spiritually successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. I think that's the third time in this context here that God used that term. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For he who is your God is with you wherever you go. And so God starts him off with this encouragement. Get in the Word, stay in the Word, and let's get ready to go into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Lead these people where I promised they could go. Verse number 10 probably takes place on a Sabbath day. Now, I believe that the year of the entrance into the promised land is 1416 BC. It's in the spring. We know that they crossed the river Jordan on the 10th day of the first Jewish month. And by the way, that'll be it'll be middle of April in this particular year, 1416 BC. So Joshua has to get the people prepared to leave the camp in the plains of Moab, go down by the Jordan River itself. That's 4 or 5 miles, I think, depending on exactly where the encampment was. And then, at God's command, they will cross the Jordan River and then go a couple more miles to the west and encamp just a couple of miles away from the city of Jericho. So that's the procedure that is going to happen. That's the logistics. And so here's how they prep for it at God's command. So verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, so the leaders of all the tribes and the subgroups within those tribes. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that he who is your God is giving you to possess. So based on the dating that falls with them crossing on the 10th day of this first month, that means that we're on the 7th day of the first month, which happens to be a Sabbath, when this order goes out. So they're all resting, and then as soon as they get done resting, then they need to get their stuff together. Now, Moses had given Joshua specific instructions regarding the tribes that have inherited the territory to the east of the Jordan. So Joshua addresses those groups. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of he who has commanded you, saying, he who is your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor, that is, all the military men among you, will pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them. So the deal was, these three tribes have to be the point of the spear. They have to be in the vanguard. They have to be at the lead of the taking of the promised land. And once the promised land has been taken and the inheritance has been declared to these other tribes, just like their tribes have already had their inheritance declared, then they can come home. So verse 15, until he who is gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, meaning until they've been told, here's your inheritance territory. You have to keep fighting. And then they shall take possession of the land that he who is your God is giving them, and then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of he who is, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they all answered, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Whatever you send, or wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may he who is your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and disobeys your words, whatever you command, shall be put to death. So they swear their allegiance to Joshua, even declaring, anybody who stands against you, who disobeys you, is counted as a rebel, and that's a capital crime. They will be executed. That's what they agree to. But notice what they say at the end. Only be strong and courageous. So clearly, Joshua was feeling a little bit, I wouldn't use the word timid, maybe anxious, concerned about filling the very large sandals of the prophet Moses. Everybody kind of senses that, and so they want him to do it. Do it the way you know it needs to be done. Don't be afraid. Do God's will and lead us. Which brings us to chapter 2, which is a flashback. Because these events at least have to start earlier in the first month. Because they climax the day that Israel moves their encampment down to the side of the Jordan River. And so this is how this flashback takes place. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent, and that's a past tense, and so I'd strengthen it by saying had sent. Joshua, the son of Nun, had sent two men secretly from Shittim. Now, Shittim is equivalent to the plains of Moab. Shittim is a Hebrew plural referencing the acacia trees, the acacia plants that are all over the region where they'd been encamped. He had secretly sent from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So Joshua is well aware that the first big city, the first walled city that they're going to come face to face with is Jericho. And he wants to know more about it as the commander of the military forces. He wants to know more about it inside and out. So he taps two of his trusted people to go across and check it out. I suspect that one of these two guys is probably Salmon, who ends up marrying Rahab later, because his name is in the genealogy of King David, and then, of course, of Joseph, the husband of Mary, there in the book of Matthew. And so he, I think, becomes part of the story early on here. They went and they came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And when we come back next time into the Word, we'll talk about Rahab.